Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness.
Okay, I've got one screen working over here. Okay, just let him know we've got one working.
Hey, this one's working now.
Yay!
The wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry,
last one. This is the last one. Good morning, everyone. How good is it to be together this morning? Anyone happy to be here? Me too. Let's stand together. Let's remind each other and let's remind our own hearts how great our God is.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great. How great is our God! Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God!
Name above all names.
Name above. How great is our God! How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. As you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Who breaks the power
of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace.
This is unfailing love.
That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free.
I sing for all that you've done for me.
Father, we just thank you that we can come here and worship you. Thank you that we are part of your family, the most powerful being that we could ever imagine, and we are yours. Yes. Help us to pause now to remind ourselves that we are yours and that we are in your hands today. Amen.
Amen.
Please grab a seat.
Well, somebody should have shaken you by the hand as you came in the door this morning. Was anyone shaken by a warm hand? Did anyone remark on how cold your hands were? That was my experience when I came in. So as you were passed one of these bulletins, that's got a lot of information in it that will be important for you to absorb. But there are some other announcements in particular I'd like to bring to your attention. The first being that the Leadership Academy is drawing near, and it would be great if you have an interest in being trained for leadership of any kind through our Leadership Academy, that you fill out one of the forms that you'll find just behind Colin there on the other side of the wall. You'll find some forms there, and that will indicate to us your interest, and we'll follow you up with that. The next one is that Levi McGrath is coming. Who knows Levi McGrath? Who's experienced Levi McGrath? Wonderful. So there are lots of people here who have an opportunity to experience Levi's ministry for the first time, and you can do that for a little bit on Sunday morning in 2 weeks' time, but he will take the whole service in the evening in 2 weeks' time. So this is a really wonderful opportunity for you to bring some of your friends to church. You can bring them any week, but that's an especially good time to bring them. If you have any questions about that, just see Jeff Gray behind the sound desk there. Barry.
If you want to go to the Akandanda camp, and you also want to hear Levi, you can, because you can go for the day on the Saturday. It's Yakandanda camp. Yakandanda is about half an hour towards Bright Way from Albury. It's a men's camp, and it used to be called Farmers Camp, but now it's for anybody, any male. If you want to come as a father and son, if a child's 14, 15 or something, that's fine. You can have a good time together. Last year they had an activity in the afternoon, which was clay shooting or something. And it's a good time to share. It's a good time also for you to learn the word. We've got Philip Jensen, who's going to be the preacher, and there's another speaker which I haven't got because I didn't have a flyer. I said last week that you could find me in the bulletin. No, it was supposed to be in the phone directory, Barry Owens in the phone directory. I have got flyers that I can send you if you want to come, and if you want to ride, there's still seats available. I really recommend it. I only went last year. It is a cold spot, but the big fire they got is about from here to miles away, so you can keep nice and warm. Food's great. You get fully catered for. I think the cost is about $170 for the weekend, for the 3 days, 27th, 28th, 29th. You can just go for the Saturday. And if you want to come and you're finding it financially difficult, you really don't even have to pay. So it can be a great weekend. So just think about it. And sometimes it's good just to get away from our stress to do something as men. All right, thank you.
Adrian's going to come and share with us about another special opportunity. And while he comes, a reminder that there's no Sunday school today, but beside Chuck there at the sound desk, there's a yellow crate, and it's got clipboards and pencils and crayons, etc. So if you've got children or if you're listening, children, there's something there for you to do.
Good morning, all. Just a quick promotion. We're excited with our creation care group because we're having a special visitor come, Ken Duncan, on the 4th of August, so that's coming up fairly soon. Why we're excited is that you may have seen some of Ken's works. He's renowned as probably one of the best landscape photographers, nature photographers in Australia and also internationally as well. And we're excited because he's also is a strong Christian, a committed Christian is Ken. So he's coming on the Saturday night to do a workshop, and it's probably a good workshop if you've got, say, friends who maybe aren't Christians. It'll be just focused on photography techniques, on capturing landscapes and nature from an expert, and then he'll be speaking briefly in the Sunday morning service. Anyway, with Ken coming, there's a small charge for the Saturday night session. Now, while we're having a charge, it's not to make money. We're actually trying to cover our costs. Like, Ken comes with a fee, and then he's also bringing his own equipment. Now, you might have a large screen in your lounge room for your TV. Ken's bringing his own screen, and it's 7 metres by 3.5 metres. So imagine that. It's not going to fit in our auditorium here. So we're in the hall out there to fit it in. He's bringing his own data projector as well. So Ken is basically a perfectionist when it comes to his photography, and he's got a lot of tips he's going to give us. So we're really looking forward to coming. As you came in, you should have got a brochure like that. If not, there should be some on the back as you go out. And learn more about it. So if you can come, the Saturday night photography session, and then Sunday morning he'll be here in the church. So we're really looking forward to Ken's visit. Thank you.
We're going to sing again, and as we do, you'll be waited upon if you're prepared for the offering.
Please stand.
Oh, the mercy of God, the glory of grace, that you choose to redeem us, to forgive and restore, and you call us your children, chosen in Him to be holy and blameless, to the glory of God, to the praise of His glorious grace, to the praise of His glory and power. To Him be all glory, honor and praise, forever. Richness of grace, the depth of His love. In Him is redemption, the forgiveness of sin. You called us as righteous, predestined in Him, for the praise of His glory, included in Christ. To the praise of His glorious grace, praise of His glory and power. To Him be all glory, honor and praise, forever and ever, amen. Oh, the glory of God expressed in His Son, His image and likeness revealed to us all. The plan of the ages, completed.
completed in Christ, that we be presented, perfected in Him, to the praise of His glorious grace, to the praise of His glory and power. To Him be all glory, honor and praise, forever and ever and ever. Amen. To the praise of His glorious grace, to the praise of His glory and power. To Him be all glory, honor and praise, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Let's pause and pray. Thank You, Lord, for the gifts that have been offered. And Father, we pray that these funds will be used wisely for great blessing, Lord, and the extension of Your kingdom. Help us to be generous, Lord, ongoingly generous, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, torn by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. The death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns, here in the power of Christ, no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns, or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Please take a seat. You may have noticed it in the words of, oh, the mercy of God, the words of Paul, actually. And Paul says, set your heart on things above, not on earthly things. And set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And it's very easy for us, even in prayer, to be consumed with earthly things and our circumstances and our difficulties. And the Lord wants to hear about those things and he cares about those things, but he would have us lift our hearts and our eyes above them. And so I'm going to pray with you and for you this morning with some of the words of Paul, the prayers that he prayed for the churches. And you might notice the absence of prayers about God intervening in circumstances, though God is pleased to hear those prayers. But the focus and the emphasis of Paul's prayers are heavenly things, that we would know, that we would grow, that we would have hearts that are fixed on Jesus. So let me pray with you using some of these beautiful words from the scriptures. Let's pray. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And I pray that our God may make you worthy of his calling and fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. And may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us,
To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lois is going to bring us today's Bible reading from Matthew chapter 16. Thanks, Lois.
This morning's Bible reading is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, which is found on page 797 in the Bible in the pocket on the back of your seat. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So the passage you just had read this morning is probably one of those really pivotal points in the Gospels. So we've had Jesus was born at the beginning of the Gospel, obviously, and he grew up and he was baptized and he went through the desert and was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he's been moving around with his disciples and he's been preaching to them, preaching to the little towns and villages in Judea about the kingdom of God. And here he turns to his disciples and he says to them, "Who do people say that I am? Or who am I?" And then Peter steps forward and he boldly pronounces that Jesus, in fact, is the Messiah, or the Anointed One, God's chosen one, who has come to save. But today, we're not going to look at any of that. David was really generous to me. He gave me one verse out of that passage. Verse 18. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I was given that verse because we're about to start a series on the church. What is the church? Who is the church? What should the church be like? If you cast your mind, imagine if you interviewed down the street this afternoon, people walking down Baylor Street. What do you think of the church? Or if tonight there was a TV program on, an investigation on what is the church? Can you imagine the things that might be covered? At the moment, within Australia, the church isn't held up very high at all. And in many respects, understandably so. Following on from the Royal Commission into Institutional Child Abuse, the general population has a low view of what the church is like. And even with the past debate last year on same-sex marriage, people see the church in a low light. But what do you think about the church? When you come here into this building, when you gather with others around you, when you think about the church within the nation, or you think about the church internationally, what do you think? Do you find your joy in the church? Do you find your purpose in the church, or are you greatly encouraged by being part of the church? Or are you simply tired of the church? Have you been hurt by the church? Or are you continually just frustrated by the church, never living up to the standard that it should be living up to? I don't know what your views and your thoughts and your feelings are around about what the church is like. But this morning I want to remind you about a few things about what the church really is, about how Jesus himself sees the church. So let me pray. Lord, we come before your word and we acknowledge that it is a true revelation from you. Your word reveals to us what you want us to know. So open our eyes, Lord, open our ears. May our hearts be transformed by this word this morning, Lord. And may we give glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So just from this one verse, this is it, okay? You can keep your Bibles open, but I'm pretty much just hitting on this one verse today. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'm just going to make 3.5 points from that one verse this morning. 3.5 points. So I'm going to start with the half because it's quick, okay? One of the first things when I read this verse, one of the first things that stuck out to me that I noticed was the word church. It stuck out to me because this is Jesus talking. And he hasn't died and he hasn't been resurrected and he hasn't ascended to heaven and Pentecost and the Holy Spirit hasn't come, yet Jesus himself is talking about the church. So what does Jesus really mean when he starts talking about the church? The word here, the Greek word that the translators have used church to describe, actually more directly translates into something like assembly, a grouping of people. And in fact, the same word is used right through the New Testament, often translated as church, but sometimes when it's talking about other things, it's described as things like civic meetings or organisations when it's talking about the Greeks and the Athenians doing certain things in the book of Acts. So why would the translators decide that church might be a suitable way to describe this word? Well, that brings us to point number one, because it's all about who owns the assembly. Who owns this group of people? In verse 18, you can see, what does Jesus say? He says, my church. Okay, it is my church. There is an ownership there. That's the reason the translators chose to use the word church, because it wasn't just any assembly. It wasn't a random grouping of people. It was Jesus' church. It was his assembly. Jesus owns the church. I think we can agree with that. The flip side of that coin is we do not. It is Jesus himself who owns the church. The church should all be about Jesus himself. The flip side of that is that we do not own the church, and therefore the church is not all about us. And that might seem like a simple thing to understand, but it seems like it's an incredible hard thing to remember. That as we come together as a group of believers, the first, the greatest, the most important thing that we are here about is because of the one who owns this assembly. It is about Jesus himself. It's not about us. It's not about what we feel comfortable with or what we enjoy or what we like or dislike or any of those kinds of things. We are here firstly, primarily, foremost for Jesus, the one who can rightly say, my church. Let me remind you about who this Jesus is. This is what Paul writes in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. He says, the Son, that is Jesus, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. I don't know if you've written a CV lately for a job and you write down all the things you've done and all the things that you are and how wonderful you are and leave out all the things that you're not terribly good at. But phrases like this from Colossians don't end up on my CV. It might surprise you. But I cannot claim any of these things, for in him all things were created. Things, whether they're on heaven, things, whether they're on the earth, whether we can see them, whether we can't see them, all the thrones, the powers, the rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. That is the Jesus that owns our assembly. He wasn't just some baby born in a manger. He wasn't just some carpenter in a dead-end area of Palestine. Here Paul writes, all things have been created through him and for him. This is our Jesus who owns this assembly. This is this Jesus who loves his assembly, who loves his church. So point number two, it is Jesus who builds his church. So in verse 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus enables this church, this assembly, this body of believers to come together all through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. He enables us as people, as people who have done the wrong things against God, as sinners, he enables us to come to God because Jesus has taken all of those sins from us. So only through his death and resurrection could we ever be called God's people. But as we look around the church, as we look around our city and our nation, you might be tempted to think the church isn't actually being built anymore. Maybe it's being a little dismantled. There's churches for sale in different locations. We hear repeatedly about the numbers of people who are going to church is decreasing. Maybe you're thinking that Jesus might not be building his church. But I can tell you that he still is, even within this congregation. There are people who are outside the kingdom who have now come into the kingdom. Another stone has been laid on another stone. Another one was taken from outside the kingdom who was an enemy of Christ, like we all were, and has been brought into the kingdom. And the building continues. Let alone if we think for a moment and consider the church worldwide. What does that look like? Does it amaze you that Africa will have the most amount of Christians anywhere in the near future, that the church continues to grow there right across that continent? Does it surprise you that through Asia that the church is growing, whether it's China who has more Christians than multiple times the Australian population, or whether it's smaller nations, smaller Buddhist nations, where the church continues to move and continues to grow? Or you could go to South America, where the revival just seems to keep happening, where people see once again the glory of Christ himself. And we're not just putting one stone on top of another, but multiple stones are being built into this building that is called the church. Jesus continues to build his church. Jesus says a remarkable thing to Peter. Did you hear what he says? He says, on this stone, on this rock, I will build my church. I don't think Peter could have fully understand what was just said to him. If it was, I think he just would have sort of collapsed under the weight or the pressure of that statement. But we see that statement start to come through true right at the beginning of Acts. As we think about the day of Pentecost, the day when the disciples and the believers were all grouped together in the building, in a room, and the Holy Spirit came, and it looked like tongues of fire, and it landed upon each of them. And suddenly, instead of being scared, they were bold, and they burst out onto the street. And instead of just speaking Aramaic or Hebrew or maybe some Greek, suddenly they were speaking all the languages of those around them. And they were speaking the truth of the goodness and the greatness of God himself. And some in the crowd thought, they're just drunk. They're just drunk. They've had too much wine. But Peter himself, this rock that the church would be built on, stood up to the crowd and he started to preach to them in some ways the very first sermon of this newly formed church. And let me read to you the end of his sermon. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then further down in verse 41, it continues, "And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." 3,000 stones were added to that foundation of the rock of Peter. You think about 3,000. We might fit 250 people in here at a bit of a squeeze. Imagine 3,000 being added to the church that day. Jesus was building his church. So let me give you three ways that Jesus builds his church. The first one is through his word. That you can hear Peter preaches. If you look through the whole sermon, he reaches back into the Old Testament scriptures twice and drags them forward to demonstrate how people should have known that Jesus was coming and the things that he would suffer. But he also says things like this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. We shouldn't underestimate the importance of Jesus' word building his church, that people will hear it. But not only will they hear it, the second thing is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was moving. Because not only did they hear it, but they were transformed. So often we can hear things and not understand and hear things and not be moved. But here, when the people heard what Peter had said, they were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit had not only transformed the disciples and enabled them to preach boldly, but it also spoken clearly to those in the audience, in the community there, and it cut them to the heart. It changed them. So there's two things that Jesus does in terms of building his church. His word goes out, as well as the Holy Spirit. But thirdly, what happens here is that Jesus uses people like us to speak his word. It is Peter here that it's who is speaking. It's not that Jesus has spoken in a loud voice on high and said, "You shall do this." But it is through a human being, one who has failed quite clearly in the Gospels already. But a human being nonetheless speaking God's word, speaking the very words of Jesus. So Jesus builds his church. Jesus builds his assembly. But we have a role in it. We have a part to play. As crazy as it seems, we have a part to play. So how do we help the church grow? How do we help build this church? I got two things for you. Pray and proclaim. Pray and proclaim. So pray. We need to be people who are prayerful. We need to be a people who are on our knees. Or as Paul the Apostle says, he calls us to pray continually. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I don't feel I do it very well. I don't bring everything to prayer. I don't bring everything in prayer to Jesus. So often, I try and resolve things myself. Much of my day, I may have forgotten about Jesus and the God who've served as I go about my work, as opposed to praying continually in all things that I do. But the question is, what are the things that we should pray for? If we want to be part of this Jesus building his church, what should we be praying for? Let me give you an idea. I've heard this one isn't too bad. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The very prayer that Jesus himself instituted for the disciples to pray. When they ask, how should we pray? This is what Jesus said. Well, we can look at this and see, what should we be praying? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be established as great and honourable and set apart and in glory throughout the whole world. And may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. How often do you pray those words? Pray those words that Jesus might build his church, that his will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second part of the two things that we might be able to do is to proclaim. We need to speak the words of Jesus. Now, for some of you, proclaim might seem a pretty strong word, and I really just chose that word because it started with P, okay? All right, sort of fits together a bit better than other things you could have chosen. But to proclaim, I don't mean just yelling from the rooftops that Jesus is Lord. But we need to be speaking about the name of Jesus into all sorts of conversations, doing it gently, doing it lovingly, doing it honestly, with friends and family, work colleagues and neighbours. They can't know unless they hear the word of God. Only a few weeks ago, I had a friend who'd been a long-term friend, but they've moved away and they came back to Wagga, and I knew them through work primarily. And we had about 5 minutes of personal conversation together. And I knew some of the things that had gone on in their life since they had lived here. Some of it was mental illness and some of it was family breakdown. What do you say to someone in 5 minutes? All I said, and they knew me pretty well, all I said is my hope is in Jesus. I said, all I want for you is the very best. And I think hope in Jesus is what it is. And that was it. Conversation over, and they flew home. All I want to encourage you, although I've used the word proclaim, doesn't mean just to yell it in the face of adversary and just tell people as it is. Sometimes it's just a whisper. Would you like me to pray for you? Would you like me to introduce you to Jesus? Do you want me to tell you something about Jesus that I find helpful or strengthens me in those difficult times? It takes boldness. It's scary, particularly with work colleagues. It's a strange thing to talk about anything personal at work. Can I encourage you to think about it? Because in building Jesus' church, his word needs to be proclaimed, no matter how loud or how quiet that might be done. And point number three, at the end of this verse, in verse 18, the gates of Hades will not prevail. What is this gates of Hades? Well, it represents death. If you have a look at in your NIV Bible, there's a little letter next to it, and it sends you down the bottom. And what does it say? It says, the gates of Hades is the realm of the dead. This is the place where Satan himself reigns. And what does this verse tell us? Well, it tells us that this place of the dead where Satan reigns, it will not prevail over the church. The church instead will be built, it will grow, and it will not die. It's often said there's two things in life that you can't avoid. One of those is death and the other's tax. To be honest, you can avoid tax, you just need the right accountant, don't you? So the thing that we can't avoid in life is death. No matter what you do, it'll catch you in the end. You might be able to put it off for a little while, and medication might help you prolong life for a little bit more, but in the end, death will come. And you can say, not just about our lives, but all the things we fill our lives with, at some point, they will be gone. They'll be finished. They'll be destroyed. No one will remember these things any longer. I don't know what captures your imagination in your life. What do you spend time thinking about? What are the things that fill your imagination? What are the websites that you go to on your phone when you have a quiet moment to go and have a look at? Is it property? Is it cars? Am I just speaking about myself all of a sudden? These things that fill our mind, and we would say they're not that important to us, but our very actions show that they're the things that we spend a lot of our quiet time doing. Those things will be gone. Those things will be dead. Those things will be buried, and no one will ever remember them ever again. But what happens to the church? What happens to the church? If we were to skip to Revelations, right at the end, if you haven't read the whole Bible, let me tell you what happens at the end. It's a bit of a spoiler, okay? Revelations chapter 21. Here the Apostle John is seeing a vision about what the future will be like. And what does he say in Revelation chapter 21? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. You see, here in this vision, in this picture that John writes down for us, the church itself is being presented as a bride that is being beautifully dressed for her husband, and that husband is Jesus himself. And just as a bride and her husband are united on their wedding day, and from then on they should be one, that is the unity that John is painting here. That is the intimacy that John is painting here in this picture, that the church and Jesus himself will be fully, completely united. That God's dwelling place will be with his people. And when that happens, there will be no more tears because the old order of things has passed away. Let me suggest to you, nothing else in this world will last. Nothing else in this world will ever satisfy. Nothing else in this world will ever fulfill so deeply compared to the knowing of God himself. On that great day, where the church and Jesus himself are unified completely, fulfilling, on that day, nothing else will compare. So let me finish on a few thoughts. Do you love the church? Do you love the church? It is Jesus' own assembly. And if you love Jesus, you've got to love the church because that's what Jesus does. He loves his church. And I know sometimes the church hurts. And I know that sometimes the church frustrates, particularly at the local level where we rub up against each other and sometimes there's a few spikes that dig in. But ultimately, do you love the church? Because that is Jesus' assembly. That is his group. And he loves his church. Do you, secondly, do you invest your life in the church? Jesus is building his church through his word. Jesus is building his church through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is building his church through us in some mysterious and wonderful, miraculous way. Are you praying for the church? Are you proclaiming Jesus' words so that that church might be built? And thirdly, do you have a hope in this church that one day that the church and that Jesus will be fully and they'll be completely joined together? Where is your hope resting? Where do your interests lie? Are they outside and all the other things around? Are you too easily satisfied with life and those other bits and pieces? Are you happy with all those things? Let me remind you, they'll all go. They'll all die. They'll pass away. They'll be burned up. They'll be buried. They'll be long forgotten. But the church one day will be unified with Christ himself, where God will dwell with his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God, and he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and that there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Jesus is doing this through his church. Love the church. Invest your life in the church. Put your hope in what the future of this church will be. Let me pray. Lord, we come before you and we're amazed that you decided to call a people to yourself. We're amazed that when you called us that you didn't sit idly back, but you came to earth and that you died and that you were raised again so that our sins might be forgiven and that we can come to you. Lord, we thank you that you build a people for yourself. Help us to see, Lord, the truth of this life, that you are the only thing worth living for. So, Lord, come to us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit. May we be cut to the heart and hear your words. May we desire that your church might be great, that it might proclaim your word for all to hear. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Oh, how important was that for us to hear, eh? So important. Let's stand together.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God.
Into the darkness.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Stand again.
Our
God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
our God,
our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder today that you are so huge, so powerful, so awesome. Help us to be your people here in Wagga this week. Take us, use us, lead us. Amen.
Amen.
Cup of tea and coffee outside, but there will also be just quiet time in here just to sit and chat if you wish to. And people down